listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Matt Safransky, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight, and Kristen Palpini, managing editor for Daily Voice Massachusetts. Matt, Kristen, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adam.
This week, the heat was turned up a bit in the Democratic race for Massachusetts' first congressional district. Challenger and Holyoke Mayor Alex Morse sent out mailers and unveiled a TV commercial highlighting his late brother's struggles with opioid addiction. Doug Morse died this year of an overdose. Here's a clip from the ad where Morse says his brother fell through the cracks of a, quote, cruel healthcare system.
But in Washington, instead of standing up for patients, Richie Neal is using his power and seniority to fight the same drug companies that are fueling this crisis. I'm running for Congress to fight for people like my brother.
The campaign for Congressman Richard Neal fired back, saying, quote, invoking the loss of a family member in an attack full of lies is despicable and appalling. Matt, Morse's campaign called that response disgusting, but first, was it appropriate for Morse to invoke his brother and his struggles into the campaign?
I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, invoking a family, tragedy like that in a campaign. And people I've spoken to think that if the ad had just stopped there, it would have been excellent. The problem was, is that they kind of pivoted it into an attack ad, which is not entirely true. I mean, it's not like Neal hasn't done anything on this issue. There was a bill that came out in 2015 or so that Neal and Markey had sponsored about opioids. The year before that, they were both in Holyoke, and Morse had praised them for working on this issue. So, I mean, it's not about invoking family. I think it's about using it as a cudgel.
Kristen, did the Neal campaign's response go too far?
I don't think so. It's politics. They needed to do something to discredit such a ad that pulls at the heartstrings like that. It's hard not to feel for him after seeing that. So they needed to do some damage control.
Also this week, policing reform was and is on the agenda for lawmakers in Massachusetts and Connecticut. The Connecticut House passed a bill this week that, among other things, rolls back protections for police against civil lawsuits known as qualified immunity. Representative Brandon McGee is co-chair of the Black and Puerto Rican Caucus in the Connecticut legislature. He urged support for the bill.
There are worlds between what the sound of a police siren means to my neighbors on the north end of Hartford, and to those of my neighbors in the suburbs.
Kristen, police unions protested against this legislation, which now moves on to the state Senate. Your thoughts on this debate?
Yeah, I think a low-hanging fruit would just be to restrict how some of the chokeholds, some of the ways police are allowed to touch and apprehend people. It's gotten too violent in some cases, and people have died needlessly. But I think the larger issue of whether police officers are kind of immune to being tried in courts, to being responsible for the violence that might happen during an arrest or an encounter, I think that that's gone too far. They have very little responsibility, or they get charged with very little responsibility for it. So I think if you make the cities and the towns that employ the police officers responsible, financially responsible here, I think you're going to get some changes. I think police officers who mess up in the field aren't going to be hired back because the towns can't afford that anymore.
Matt, meanwhile, in Massachusetts, the Senate, of course, passed a bill last week, but the House has been working on its own version for the last 3 days, and they really have been bogged down in all sorts of amendments. There's also the matter of the legislative session coming to an end next week, or at least it's scheduled to do so. Is Massachusetts going to get something done?
Maybe. I think that the part of the problem is that we're tripping over, and as Kristen said, you know, the qualified immunity issue. And while it is desperately in need of reform, I mean, Justice Thomas on the U.S. Supreme Court has called for this to be looked at again. I mean, if you've got Justice Thomas on your side, then something's serious in need of changes. But I'm not sure that the legislature has enough time to do this right, to do this credibly for all sides. I don't think the police unions are going to be happy with any changes. But at the same time, I'm not sure that you can just, you know, go full bore in such a quick fashion to get it right, because that's the goal. You want to get it right, not just get something done.
Right. Because it is asking a lot of police officers to go out there and face these really dangerous situations every day. So they should have some protection, but modification is needed.
Also this week, the Republican newspaper revealed that a Springfield police officer admitted to an assault charge in court for forcibly removing a person from the police station by his throat. What's remarkable here is this comes after the officer was cleared by the department and a civilian review board. Kristen, the lawyer for the victim, said, quote, "Only in Springfield would an officer plead to criminal conduct and not miss a day of work." What about this assessment?
I don't think Springfield's alone in that kind of thing, but it was messed up. You would think that there would be at least some kind of suspension or some kind of repercussions from the city. There was a video. It was very obvious what happened. And it hurts the community if they don't see these actions corrected by the city.
And Matt, you know, this comes on the heels of a report by the U.S. attorney, an investigation by the U.S. attorney, which found that the narcotics unit in the Springfield police routinely used excessive force. Matt, you interviewed Lelling about Springfield. What were some of the big takeaways from that conversation?
The big takeaway is that, I mean, while the report focused on the Narcotics Bureau and the impunity there, it seemed to be part of a broader problem with how complaints are processed, but also how in the internal investigations unit is operated. There wasn't this, he was very clear to say that he thought the vast majority of the Springfield police were doing the best that they could, but that this was a problem of truly training and procedure, in which case, many cases, it simply didn't exist at all. I know a lot of people question whether or not those things are enough in and of themselves, but if they're not happening at all, then, you know, how can you measure whether they're effective or not? And I think that was what really struck me, was that that's the crux of the report, that how much of this stuff was just missing.
And finally this week, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker extended the COVID-19 related moratorium on most foreclosures and evictions until mid-October, but some landlords have sued the state, saying the move infringes on their constitutional rights. Matt, do the landlords have a case?
I'm not sure. I think there is definitely, you know, a debate about this issue, but I think it raises a very interesting question about, you know, there's some calls for like rent cancellation. I think they'd be running into a much murkier constitutional grounds, whereas this is, you know, just the court saying, we're just not going to evict somebody. You still have a legal right to collect this money at some point. So that's where I think it stands. It's a safer bet for now.
Kristen, I'll give you the last word on this one.
Oh, God, I can completely agree with Matt while he was talking. I'm like, Adam's going to ask me to say something about this, and I'm just going to say I agree.
All right, good enough. Kristen Palpini with Daily Voice Massachusetts and Matt Szafranski with Western Mass Politics and Insight. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.